They own that, and that's the advantage of one and two. All right, let's go. And some disadvantages quickly, too. Okay. Part of this is the landlord in leasing positions has some disadvantages to it. Difficult to predict market, generally is. The people who are trying to, mayor and others who are trying to bring people in, they can tell you that. Spruce Run, proximal to 783122, but a lot of businesses want to actually on those roads. So that's a disadvantage. You can have problems with tenants, depending on occupants. There could be mandated expenditures from the Department of Education. Could be. We don't know. We wouldn't show them what the share of part of it is. Any questions about that? Okay, next. All right, now, I have talked to four people who have experience in this area, have done work in commercial real estate, and in generally in the same path, $2.5 million to four. And I think at the end of that, somebody who might want to buy the property and do something else with that property. That is, I think there's more money for people who may see that as valuable that they could turn around with some other kind of new structure. Length of time the school might be on the market is difficult and unknown. There's about 10 school buildings in this area that were purchased maybe the last 7 or 8 years. There are some figures with that, but some of them are a lot smaller than this, around. But that is more unknown than anything else. Although, I think that number, 2, 5, and 4, I think that range is pretty tight. I think that's not a made up number. When 3 out of 4 people come up with that number in that range, you tend to go long. Now, I've said what I've said about uninhabited school. I think that that's ill-advised. I think having children in the school while you're advertising selling is more than a little bit of a problem. Then, if you ever vacate the school, the Department of Education has fees that you must pay. And you don't know how much that's going to be because it depends on the size of the building and other factors. So, this is by far the cleanest of all the options. If you decide that that's the way to go. Now, let's say you've had somebody give you $2,500,000 for the building. The one building that I know, there are not a lot of new buildings being built, the one that I know is in Perth Amboy, $57 million for 800 pages. And they own the land. So it is not close if you ever have to figure that maybe we may need more than what we have now because we've sold something. Because that probably is never on the cost versus that. Which is one of the reasons why the first and second options are things to consider, or the board will consider, along with some other things, once it's gone, it's gone. Now, if you could rely on figures that say you're never going to have more than 1,500 kids no matter what happens, well, that's one thing. But here's another thing. There are people who talk a lot about mergers in this state. They almost never happen. They almost never happen because two communities always find themselves in a situation where one gets smacked with taxes. And that's why it never happens. We may be in a time when certain boards decide to make arrangements with other boards for portions of their school. or functions of their school. So one school may say, we're not going to have a superintendent anymore, we want you to be superintendent for both schools. Or something else like that. When everybody has declining enrollment and some of them are really small, that could happen. That could have an effect on the bigger schools, and you are one of the bigger schools. You are, next to Reddington, you're the biggest. And you have all of those communities very closely touching you. So, you want to do advantages and disadvantages on this? These are pretty obvious, one-time influx of money. There is going to be some expense of when you go to three schools, you're going to have to invest some money. Now, the one number that I brought to you is the number that was established for the middle school, $850,000, if you're going to go to three grades. I think that's the minimum. That doesn't touch the other two. It just doesn't. Operating costs, you've seen that before, except that there's an advantage. Once you no longer own that building, $510 for Spruce Run is a limit. You don't have to. Disadvantage, length of time the building remains unsold. Another question about how you want to do that. Properties adjacent to a residential area, that I think that residential area, I've dealt with here, they're going to be pretty sensitive as to who's going to be the occupant. And I don't think it's necessarily the educational part of this, but it's something business. Once the building is sold, the opportunity to address an increase in enrollment is very limited, if not non-existent. But again, the demographic studies do not show a big spike. It doesn't mean that certain factors may occur that might get a bigger enrollment than you think. Questions? Okay, let's go to the next one. All right, now, this is another choice, because what the board has always said is that they feel like there is a need for a course of action now. But as was asked before about the data about how many kids do we think we can get, we don't know that yet. You have to spend at least probably a year to do that kind of work. A woman from the Morris Union Jointure told me when I asked her if she wanted to offer or open a new version of their program in Hunter County, she said, population isn't here. It is not. That's what she said. This one has, you don't necessarily go immediately to a number that this has to be done by. You do a 3 to 5 for possibilities of potential changes and counting demographics. You could explore, what Kevin was talking about, some possibility where you look at what are the possibilities for leasing, what is the possibility for repurposing, do we have something else? Maybe even better than what we have here as an example. Do it. And then you try to find that kind of customers you have. Additional waiting time would serve to determine the most feasible course of action. There's always an advantage to that. Want to keep going? All right. Safeguards increasing enrollment, you know that. You just don't know how far that's ever going to get. Sectors of the district feel that the student enrollment will never return to 1,600 to 1,800 range. That's probably a pretty safe prediction on the 1,800 side.
What is the sector of the district?
People who believe sector is a portion of the population. It's no agency or organization, but people who think that the time has come to set. Because you've never been at those numbers. And they argue that if you have 3 with 1831, you should be able to have 3 with 16 or 50. But when it was 1831, it was overcrowded, and that's why they had to take it. Sentiment in the community, I think you know this, that the district should not postpone the decision any longer. Questions about this? Yes?
The question overall, I wasn't kind of previously about this. What's the timing that the board is recommending that something has to be done? Is it we start now and these changes don't take place for 2 years? Or is it immediate? Or is it 4 years from now?
In the next couple of slides, you're going to see that I think in the next 2 months, 3 months, the board's going to decide on direction, what they want to do. And what they're talking about is in this report, they want this to happen as soon as possible. They don't have 2, 3, 4 years. They don't have it. But they want to know of reasonably good ideas. What's the best one to pursue, and if it can work, do it as soon as possible. I think that's the condition of it. Yes?
I don't know if this was your first option. You presented some numbers about savings, including that to transportation and like the operational costs, right? You talked about salaries needing to be shifted over to another school. So what is the average, looking at the average assessment here, what would this, what is the dollar amount for the average woman? If you took those, talking of the 500,000 and what is the average savings for a potential resident?
Well, I can give you the average salary or advantages on those numbers. Here's what it costs to transfer the whole school. Here's what it costs for operational aspects of this. And that may be lower. Here's what you gain on transportation. What we don't have is the actual assessment per house. That doesn't exist. It's just that those figures were designed to show you that the numbers of occupants, if you take everyone out of where you're from, then you have a $510,000, that was given to me, operational cost. You have that. But if all of those, if there were no children in school, because something else had occupied that building, they said Ford wanted, you take 510, could be lower, minus 285 on transportation, 285 gain. Okay? So that means if you're trying to think about something about revenue and keeping this revenue neutral, it's someplace between 510 minus 287.
Dr. LeBrere?
Does that make sense?
Just for overall purposes, and AJ, please correct me, but I think at our last budget, I think something in the neighborhood of every $230,000 the district spends is the equivalent of 1 cent to your tax rate. So if you're talking $500,000 in pure terms, you're talking about something in the neighborhood of 2.3 cents.
If there was no possible.
Correct.
No correct. Possible. Okay, thank you. AJ, does that number seem to be logical?
Yes, that's in a ballpark.
In a ballpark, yeah. Well, that's all we can do with a ballpark. Yes.
So clearly we're not the first district that has had this problem with the time enrollment. I'm sure that there have been many others that have closed or repurposed or given some of those the options that were there. What has happened? Are you aware of any districts that have had an uptick in population significant enough that they have then had to revert back to either moving the population back into the school or having to either add on or trailers, like where you're getting into a situation where you kind of overshot a little bit, the feasible doesn't want to be wise, but what is the situation with that?
I'll give you two. South Orange Committee closed 2 schools and found out within a fairly short period of time that they didn't have enough facilities for their population as well. That's one. More recently is CHAP, which took 2 buildings, sold them 2 people or agencies, and now are struggling with not enough space. But those places had some reasonable possibility of growth. Especially CHAP had reasonable possibility. Those are 2. And that's, of course, the greatest fear. Is it the unknown about what your population is going to be? And that
hedged by the highway there, because they control a big portion of the federal land. But in Chatham, case, and in South Argument, now those didn't happen yesterday. Right now, you're in a time where there are a lot of declines in their own, and a lot of issues. Now, a lot of people say, I've never been to that. I don't know that I'd ever say never. But I also think you have to hold the back of your mind. If you aren't growing, and if you have some possibilities of inheriting certain things from other districts, or you might be able to run educational programs that they can't, you might make your enrollment continue to go up. It's not going down right now. And that's what the demographic study shows. Yes?
So you're concurring with the demographic study that the Flint Township Board of Education did and the high school did, basically shows flat enrollment for the next 5 years, assuming no growth.
Basically, yes.
So it's up to the board then to look at and put the township, because there's growth coming. There is going to be additional residences. They are on the books right now.
You mean new buildings?
Yes, new buildings.
Okay.
By law, the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
We have obligations that we have to meet. That is going to have an impact that will at least maintain the current level, if not somewhat increase the current level of students. So with that, do you get in your presentation where the schools are today and how close they are to capacity? So if you're talking about closing Spruce Run and you move the students that are in Spruce Run to the other buildings, is there data sets that you're going to share with us this evening that show what that would do to the capacity of those buildings and what growth could do to that capacity? So.
Yes, I don't have it in the chart, but I'll give you some numbers that I have seen. People have said that Patrick McGowan could handle as many as 400 students. I think that's excessive. I don't think it's that.
So you don't have the specifics there. You're just saying people said are.
No, I have reports. I have reports that show. Here's what the capacity shows. Now, I've walked through the building. I think 400 in Patrick McGowan is a real stretch. I don't think that's possible. But there's about 250 now. So there's that population. What I have seen going through Mount Valley, I think there's room there too. I think there certainly is room in Spruce Run if you were to hold on to it. There's certainly enough room, I think, if you were to keep all four buildings, to make sure that you'd have enough capacity for any kind of large increase. I don't think the increase is going to be large, but I don't think it's going to be declining. So you have to look at the numbers. And part of what you do when you look at numbers is you look at existing uses of classrooms. You also look at other things that could be converted into classrooms. But if Patrick's gallery is 250 and the prediction is 400, more than I think it's reasonable. But if it's at 350 or 360, you still have class in that. You've got it in Spruce Run. I think you could have it here as well with some kind of change in some of the things that you have. So my short answer to you is if you keep all four buildings, you've got the capacity with no problems. You might even be able to do it if that enrollment never got much higher in three. The beauty of one and two is that you control the buildings if that ever backfires on you, because then you get it back if you need it. Yes?
Just hearing like the potential savings and the tax rate savings, et cetera, I know that the board asked you to look at options. But to me, as just a person listening, it doesn't sound like there's a really compelling reason to do all this. In your expertise, would be, I mean, I know you were hired to look at the options, but if one of the options was leave the schools alone, would that be your selected option?
I put four options up that I think are all reasonable. The fourth one I think is reasonable. I think all four are reasonable. I think that if the population doesn't grow at all, which I don't think is going to happen, but you're going to have a problem with at least a couple of buildings very underutilized. Now, how long are you willing to live with that is the question. I've only put options up there, in my judgment. I'm not picking the board in. And the board's got to investigate this. To the question that the ladies brought up, we've got to build some models about it. If we get this, this is what happens.
Dr. Labrera?
Yes.
I'm sorry, can I ask a question?
Sure.
To follow on Dan's question. Having done this before, various places, seeing what you've seen in your ballpark professional estimation, if we were to repurpose Lee's or in some other way move Spruce Run out of the education in this district business for our kids in K through 8, exactly how much more over the current 1,380 students, in your professional opinion, could we reasonably expect to comfortably educate without affecting classroom standards in the other three buildings, trying to hold to the state average class size or below? And if you're not prepared to answer that,
no, okay. I can give you an approximate number. All right. You asked if Spruce Run was no longer.
If we were now a three-building district, how many more kids above 1,380 could we reasonably take in without having a crowding or logistics problem?
100, 250.
Okay.
Max. Okay. Now, you do have.
In three buildings?
Yeah. Yeah. Is that max? I think you could max it out to 250. I think you could. But you'd have to be using everything. Everything.
And that assumes we hold true to keeping our average class size below.
Yeah, sure. Okay. You could raise the class size a little bit more if you wanted. You also have the total students, which is a number that we see. It's like 60, isn't it? The number of total students potentially coming. Well, I've seen a number that's something like that. Yeah, of course it's a what if. Now, that's a maximum I'm talking about.
Okay.
I'm not talking about best case scenario.
Absolutely, okay.
You know, because 250 would really be stretching things, and that would make it, what, 1,700? I don't know how soon that possibility, or whether that could ever happen.
No, and I to be clear, I was asking maximum.
Yeah.
So.
No, maximum, which would be as much as you could do, and you might even be doing things that you don't want to do, like turning certain classrooms in, making the library smaller, those kinds. You could do that.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Yes.
Sir, in your report, there's no doubt that you got thoroughly the options. And you gave the example of option three, where in three other districts, Maplewood, Chatham, and Orange, was it?
It's South Orange, and the same
is so different. Is there any examples, whether it's positive or negative, for either option and or option two, that you know of? That school districts that did either one of those? Or is this the first time that something like that has been happening?
What I know most about that is they got caught in an enrollment spike that they didn't know what to do with. And then they had to start talking about doing things that they never intended to do. They got a benefit because the high school was built to be a lot larger than what they got. But Chatham, in particular, is really in trouble in terms of their facilities. And they got to do some stuff in terms of the referendum. And a little while ago, they sold those two buildings. They didn't lease them, they sold them. And now they're going to get them back. So your question, I think, is, what did they do about that?
No, I'm sorry. My question was option one or option two as presented tonight. Have you seen any districts do those?
The Mars Union Jointure started their program for children with autism in 1985. Now, they're not a public school like you know a public school, but they're a public school anyway. They went and built something thinking that a population would come. The population started to come, and then they built something to take care of those students. The people who are in situations where they think they have more space than they need are all worried about that day when the day comes that you start and try to do something else. The thing about toddlers, there are not too many public school systems I know have programs for toddlers. The three that I mentioned to you, they do. And small programs, they do too. There are places that have built early childhood centers. Montclair is one. Built an early childhood center. And it was one of the things that turned the whole district around, because population was going the other way. And then they found they didn't have enough room, so they had to build a new school. Fortunately, they had money. They built a new school. So my answer to your question is, the general fear that exists is one does not know where you're going to be 10 or 15 years from now. And once you part with it, then it's gone. Now, that doesn't mean that the best choices in here are leasing and repurposing. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying any. I'm just saying these are four things to look at. But you can't look at all four and never get out of this. You got to decide what's better and why. And then you got to tell people what you're going to explore and how. And in part of the report, I have option and options, which means there could be two you want to explore. There could be. Or three. Sales doesn't work with, you know, you're going to sell, you're going to sell. That doesn't fit with the others. It doesn't mean you don't do it. It just doesn't fit. Yes?
If the first option you have was preschool, why was one of the options not to work with maybe some of the other smaller districts and try to pull them in to sort of consolidate and share services and all that?
Well, part of what is under the big possibility of things you can do is that. It's also to take these small private schools who have very limited facilities and see if they can become some kind of coalition of kids and programs they may want to come. But the idea about the early childhood is those programs don't exist right now in public schools. They don't. Not certainly not in Congress. So you have to then try to explore, you have to talk to districts about, we are thinking about doing this. Do you have an interest? Can you come? Can you talk? That kind of thing. This board, that early childhood is not something that you have a good population that you think the board would find that's not acceptable. I think it would be acceptable. You're still not making it yet. And then you've got to figure out the cost in order to do that. If I didn't mention it specifically, it isn't because I think it's a bad idea. I think it's a good idea. But I think each one of these has good aspects to it. Which one is for the board to decide? Yes, sir?
Now, once the board makes the decision to go with the program, are you the company that's going to be looking at the financial breakdown of each option, or someone else would have?
That's entirely the board's choice. What I have been asked to do is what I've been done. That's it. Now, what they want to do is after they decide what direction they want to go and who they want to do this with, that's their choice. There's no other part of that conversation to be had. Yes?
So, in the beginning, one of the biggest impacts on enrollment was the Highlands Act back in 2007. And obviously, that was open. So, prior to that, there was a lot of discussion. I guess the only time period that we're in, and I don't know if there's an answer, this might just be something to think about. I don't know the impact of federal funding on a program like that and how that would impact. And if it is going forward, is there a possibility that a lot of this land could possibly be developed in the future? Again, or if there's an answer, something to think about.
Well, I'll give you a rough.
If it impacted that much greatly then,
I'll give you a probability, low.
Okay.
Not never, low. When legislation like that happens, it's very hard to change it. You can, and I think there are people who are hoping that there's going to be some division to that, maybe, but I don't think that's a good solid check.
Okay, my second question is just that a lack of knowledge from my perspective. What was the catalyst to start this discussion of setting a school up? Three of our classrooms too small? Or what was the catalyst?
Catalyst was that, this is my estimation, looking at all of this, that the board decided to build a fourth school because they couldn't accommodate the population that they had. And as it happened, that as they were building this school, almost to the point where they completed it, then you have that factor. And then you also have other factors like the community, like I don't know how many children were involved in that. That can have been a positive thing. And then you have the overall pattern of look around, and you can see almost all of these districts are declining at the moment. Almost all of them.
I mean, for the students that we have now, we can handle it.
Not necessarily until you find yourself with three and maybe some real aggressive number of inclusion in there. Fact of the matter is, you are underutilized in at least two of the buildings. You are. Now, it doesn't mean that there are things that are wrong in there. But it just means that if you think you can have 300 or 325 or 350 or 700 and 250, then there's a reason to say that's good use of our resources. And that, you have people who have all kinds of answers to that. There is nothing in those buildings that you walk around and say, there's all kinds of open buildings with no fucking classes and nobody's doing anything. That's not. But by the same token, you walked around, you looked, and you said, could these be classrooms? And there's some of that. But you still have the population you have, and you have hypotheticals after that. Some of them are pretty good ones, I think. I think the increase is coming. Not going to be big, but I think it's going to be big. Yes?
Exactly. But I don't think that necessarily comes that if you were to
what you think you might have 3 or 4 or 5 years from now. That's the question.
Right, and so your own board, you don't think that we're gonna be,
I don't think so. But I'm not the only one. I'm talking about the demographic study that says kind of the same thing. You know, some, if you look at it, it says 12-98 or something like that from 13-50. But there's some variation in that.
It feels like to me, right, and I'm new to work through this conversation about both of those schools. It feels to me that we're having a discussion to say, do we close the school or do we not close the school? But the case that kind of starts the center point, the catalyst that started this discussion and where we are in terms of presenting our options, don't 100% or not. Like we're saying, enrollment's not going to decline.
I'm sorry,
The school plus the data that you pulled, right?
Yeah.
So, from a data perspective, enrollment's not going to decline over the next X number of years. Our tax rate is about 2.3 cents.
That's, I think, the number we heard.
So the case on why we have this proposal in front of us, I don't understand, does not line up to me in terms of why we would want to close the school. 2.3 cents is not enough to say, let's close the school.
Please don't misunderstand. What I've tried to do. I didn't come to give you an idea about closing school.
I thank you for your option, but I think what I'm unclear about is, to her point, something's triggered this discussion. We were at high, and then we leveled off, but we're not declining, right? We are expecting, based on the data that we looked at, that we're going to have some degree of a steady state with a slight uptick in enrollment.
Except that you have to acknowledge that the district went from 1,800. That's what's happened. Now, I think that the demographers are right, that it's going to be fairly stable. And anything, I think it's going to increase. I just don't know about what's happening. But I'm not here to argue to close a school. What I'm saying, if you have school issues, declining enrollment, concerns about use of facilities, you've got to go. Not more fault. Here's some options. 3 out of 4 have the district holding the building. In other words, they're keeping it because if they change it, then they get back into use. That's the great benefit of that. You hold on to the building. Then if things change in ways that are bigger than you thought, you've got to fall back.
For example, one of the attributes put forth was to lease the building. So if you lease the building and someone reuses it in some other capacity aside from the school, we needed to go back to making it a school. We then would incur the costs associated with the structure failing to bring it up to school.
If you have absolutely no part of the educational program in that building. But when we were talking about early childhood program, you do have to involve in that program. And therefore, we're not subject. Yes.
What triggered the discussion? We've been dropping the enrollment a considerable amount in the last 5 or 6 years. And so, as we're trying to provide our students with the highest level of education we can, we also have to lower our expenses and offset the expenses. So, what we're trying to do is have them consolidate to 3 buildings without impacting the education our children receive. We're trying to offset some of our costs by utilizing the 4th building for something else. And so the goal here is not to just go to the building and have something else happen that fits. With expenses always increasing, even though you're having a decline in enrollment, your expenses are still increasing. Unemployment mandates, increases in salaries, increases in benefits, increases in your general day-to-day operations of the building, right? So we're saying, okay, if we can make sure that we do not impact in a negative way what we're doing with the children in the classroom, so we can use that 4th building in a very effective way that might offset costs, is that an option for us? It's not that we want to just go to the building. It's we're trying to manage both, providing the best education possible to our children, not changing that. But how do we become responsible for the taxpayers at the same time?
And also, there is a possibility, and I'm just adding this, there's a possibility in some of these grants that you hold on to the building and get some revenue that's really close to what you need to cover. And you hold the building, and you are beginning to offset some of the expenses. And then you watch where the enrollment goes, which is why the fourth option is there. Because I'm not the only person who's saying that I don't think it's going to decline. I think it's going to grow, I just don't know about what that is. And that's the problem. No one has said, let's compromise the educational quality in this district. Nobody has said that. Nobody believes that. But they do have the way, you do have room in these buildings. You don't know how many more students you need there. Not yet. So what do you want to do and how do you want to do it? That's the hard part of this. That's the very hard part. And as far as I'm concerned, I only know four possibilities. I don't think there are others. At least I don't know. And every one of them has a disadvantage. Every one. And every one of them has an advantage. But the question is, what's the best cost-benefit analysis? What's the best one? And that's what the board's got to grab. Well, let's first, second, and then.
I just, to answer the more of your question, I think is how did this start. I think there's even more to it, and not to say that that wasn't the whole story, but I think there are members in our community, I'm a taxpayer here, that, you know, they might have afforded themselves to come to all these board meetings and listen to what we've heard, and they're just, you know, they're just frustrated because they see a hard number of we've gone from 1,800 to where we are now. And I can tell you, my kids were the first one, my daughter was the first class in this building. And before that, they were literally teaching kids in the buildings. So we don't want to go back to that. And I think there's that component of our community that don't want to, you know, go anywhere near that. But you also have a very vocal, you know, we want our taxes to go down. And I think what you said, what, is a penny?
No, that's what
a few pennies
was said by the business commissioner.
That's a hard number. They say, you know, how can you justify building open and spending that amount of money and our taxes are so high and, you know, there's that, that's a lot of pressure, I think, on our board members and also on our mayor and our council. You know, they have to be thinking about that for us. So, and the other piece, I just wanted to ask if where we are in our community, Exxon has had some approval to do some expansion, and I imagine that's going to bring in some more families, but that may be a
concern. Well, if they do, we can stand on the resident on that side.
You know, Mark.
I have no idea what section or what the percentage of people want this building sold, no matter what. I don't know what that is. I know that there are people because I know those numbers and I can follow that and I understand how that reasoning goes. But I think that the only way to deal with that is to have some real options and explore those options and then have defensible reasons for why you're going to do what you're going to do. And that isn't from somebody like me. That's got to be from the board members and listening to the community about the things that the community feels are important. And the big problem in this is that nobody knows how big the increase is going to be. It all depends. Nobody knows. Now, when I was asked if it was matched, I really don't think it's a thing possible.
Right.
But you asked a different question. What could be the top minus? Now, the 1,800 number, I think it's well known that There were three schools that were easily accommodating 1,800 kids. Nobody said that. And that's the reason for the fact that the board has no idea that the Highlands Access University is the best, I think. But that did put a restriction on the available building money. It did. So the board's been really good about keeping an open mind on all of this. But now you've got to sit and do the hard stuff about of those choices. What do you want to do? I just got two slides. Let's just do two slides fast and then I'll just answer your questions. That one is, I think, they're going to, in the next 3 or 4 months, be in a position to say, here's what we think we want to invest. I think that's what they're doing. All right? The last one here, there are a whole lot of people who were very helpful in this. And I did hear that the town people, the town administrators, wouldn't be very helpful in this. It's the exact opposite experience I had. The guy, Jeff Ward, is the one who went through all of those numbers and told me that this many were 2 bedrooms and 3 bedrooms and 4. That's an important thing to have. The guy from the county gave me the other numbers. These are not people who don't understand the problem that the district has. You do have some very important things going for you, and that is size here. We've been talking all along about your law size. You're bigger than just about everybody around you. And as they continue to decline, there may be things that they want to do with you that helps in a lot of other ways. But you can't eliminate in any kind of discussion what it would mean to sell. People have to know what that is. Because if you didn't explore that, they would say, you haven't explored everything. You haven't. It doesn't mean you have to make that choice. But the board's going to make that choice. You were waiting. Yes?
Assuming we do something gradual.
Gradual.
Like, let's say what you were talking about before. The first graders out of school from and just had kindergartners there and put more the preschool. How much money do we make now from the existing preschool students? And then how much additional money could we make if we move the first graders out of that school and have more preschool in school?
I don't think we're presently making money on preschool. Because I think the only preschool kids you have are the kids who are a match one-to-one to the special needs kids. I don't think you have it. And the question that came from these two ladies was, tell me what the scenario is about how much you're going to make. And I don't know that until you tell me, until there's some conclusion, charge this number. Then, if you give me that number, charge this number, I'll multiply it by certain parts of you would know. You're going to get something, that's for sure. You're also going to get something else. I think you have families that have preschool children that are going someplace else. I think they are. Right? And I think some of those they're not nickel and dime things. So I think there is some revenue in that. I think there is some benefits educationally in that. And you're holding kindergarten in that place. So all you're doing is moving a grade. Can you move a grade to touch with the grade? I don't think so.
Question for you.
I think you can.
Following to what you just said,
yeah.
To me it's not clear. I understand option one, I think. I think some autism has the potential to bring revenue into the school district. Are you recommending that should the board decide to do a combination of or solely do early childhood, and your recommendation was ages 2 through kindergarten, that you would be charging for the township residents whose students came into that program?
Except for kids that are kindergarten, yes.
So if I'm a resident of the township, mm-hmm. and my child is 2, 3, or 4 years old, mm-hmm. you would come into that program and we charge them a fee?
I think so. Yeah. Now, I was the one who suggested that there would be a 2-tier fee on that. that there would be some figure, whatever you want. I think it's dangerous to charge the same thing for Clinton Township residents as you charge for everybody else. I think that's not good, but that's not my decision. That's not my decision. I think that people would first say, well, the school has to be built, but when we start looking at what they're paying to have their kids someplace else, if you could make that desirable, I think you'd get kids from this. I think you'd get families who would move into it. I think they would. I think there's a lot of things you could do with that. And it's just an example. That's all it is. And we've done some preliminary numbers, and I've done some preliminary numbers. Big money? No. Some money, yes, with potential to be bigger as time goes on. If the program's good. You got the building on your side. You really do. And much as I admire those other programs, I think this building offers more than a lot of those other programs. I think it really does. I think the building is terrific. And because of its layout, it gives you possibilities to do different things in different ways. You don't have to be all the same thing. Those are things to grab. Yes.
Would be different than what they're charging. And I think they're also like that.
What if that's not?
What is that based on? It's based on, I mean, if you give me an hour and give me some numbers, I can do that, but that's the point.
Okay, but your proposals were based on the data that you looked at, the demographics, and some statistical analysis. But there were a certain level of assumptions that were made for each proposal. What are those assumptions?
The assumption is that you can, my assumption is, the board has to decide this. My assumption is, you can offer a high-quality program for less dollars, fewer dollars, than what the counterparts in the private sector are doing. I think consumers.
And we would fill a whole, we would fill the responsibilities of a full student-funded school with the counterparts.
I can't tell you what you're going to have in year one. I am saying to you, that is only here for the purpose of saying to you, that's something to explore. So you've got to start with, what would you start with, President? What does it likely cost in terms of the teacher? What does it likely cost for an aid? What does it likely cost for other things? You can get that number. Now, the more you have of students, the better off you are.
Yes, of course, that makes sense. But I guess what I struggle with is that we're saying that we're going to provide a higher quality education to the private sector with a comparable price, but without having some assumptions of.
No, we're not saying that. No, we're not saying that. We are saying going to provide a high-quality program. I didn't say this.
Sorry, not high. High-quality program for the dollars that
I'm going to do.
Yes, but
I think that's the problem.
Can I help clarify?
Let me just finish this. I think if you want this is, to explore,
we're off the rails.
You got to start building your own scenarios. And that's not hard to do. But you can't do that if you start to build your own.
Right.
And this is what the cost is. This is what this cost. What does it look like if you attend? What does it look like if you apply? That kind of thing. Yeah. Not not an easy task, but it has to be addressed. So one thing of that part. Thank you very much.
Keep that other one alive for the next one. Make sure you come.
I'll give you a different setup.
Okay.
Thank you.
Yep, good night, good night.
Good night, thank you.
Good night, Doctor, good night.
It's gonna be contagious. Okay, I know it's very late. We haven't even really started our meeting yet. but I do have a couple of announcements and a couple of things under President's comments that I do need to say. The Clinton Township Board of Education has an open seat available. Notice of the availability of this open board seat will be sent to the Hunterdon Democrat, placed on our district website, placed in the Clinton Township newsletter, and a letter will be sent to our parents. Any interested candidates must submit a letter of interest and a resume to Mr. Juskowitz, our board secretary, by 4 p.m. Monday, June 19th, 2017. You can email those letters of interest as well as a resume to Mr. Juskowitz at ajuskiewicz, I'll spell it, J-U-S-K-I-E-W-I-C-Z, at ctsdnj.org, or you can also drop off your letter and your resume at the board office at 128 Cokesbury Road in Lebanon, and it's right where Round Valley School is. Board office hours are from 8:30 to 4:30, Monday through Friday. Your resume should include your name, address, phone number, and an email address, along with a letter of interest and a resume for consideration. Once Mr. Juskowitz receives a candidate's resume, he will confirm the receipt of each candidate's letter within 24 hours, and then he'll follow up with all interested candidates by phone to confirm their knowledge of the date, time, and place of the meeting, and reconfirm the length of this position. Interested candidates must meet qualification under NJSA 18A:12-1. He or she must be a citizen and resident of Clinton Township for at least 1 year, be a registered voter, be able to read and write, and notwithstanding the provisions of NJS 2C:51-1 or other law to the contrary. There will be an interviewing process that will take place during or at the beginning of our board meeting on June 26th, starting at 6:30 p.m. So instead of like our normal board meeting start at 7:30, this will start at 6:30 so we can get the interviewing process in. Candidates will be asked approximately 6 to 10 questions posed by members of the Board of Education. Each Board of Education member will have a rating sheet as candidates answer questions. When questions are complete, the board will go into executive session to discuss which candidate, if any, should serve on the board for the remaining portion of the year. That seat will be on the ballot in November, so that an individual who wants to run for that seat will have 2 years left if elected in November. The board will come out of executive session at that point in time and vote on a particular candidate, and then they will serve from that particular moment until December, the end of, actually, January 1st, or actually the reorg meeting, I should say. Okay? So we'll make sure that all of this gets on our website, and if you should have any questions, you can call Mr. Juskowitz in the board office, and he can answer those questions for you. I want to share with you that on May 1st, the presidents and vice presidents of each of the sending districts into the North Hunter and Voorhees School District met with the president and vice president of the North Hunter and Voorhees School District. And during the meeting, we discussed a variety of topics that included the state of articulation between the sending districts and the regional school district. We discussed data on student achievement, specifically of students in the high school, and an emerging educational shared vision was also discussed. There was no decision that evening on the part of any of the sending districts to study regionalization in the North Hunter and Voorhees School District. So I know there was a question at the last board meeting about regionalization, and I had promised that when we did meet, I would report on what happened in that meeting. So that is what happened in that meeting. The last thing I have on President's comments is the following statement. This Board of Education wholeheartedly believes that the level of success that can be achieved in delivering the highest quality education possible to the children in Clinton Township depends on the Board of Education and the CTEA's ability to work together in a positive and cohesive manner. We recognize that both the board and the CTEA have had a difficult time finding common ground in an attempt to work together under a variety of circumstances. But with every challenge, with every difficult time, with every obstacle that presents itself, there is an opportunity to overcome, persevere, and foster a change. The Board of Education sees an opportunity that will enable both of us to positively work together to overcome our challenges and our differences. The opportunity I'm referring to begins with a meeting between the leadership of the Clinton Township Education Association and the leadership of the Board of Education to have an open and honest dialogue to discuss how we can effectively identify and overcome our existing challenges with the ultimate goal of repairing and improving our broken relationship and moving it forward into a positive direction. The result of an improved relationship allows us to cohesively work together and improve the climate in our schools and in our community. And it will allow us to improve the negotiations process, to successfully execute our current and future instructional programs, and so that together we can effectively manage our declining enrollment. We are confident that by improving our relationship, we will continue to enhance the education that the children in Clinton Township deserve. An invitation was extended to the co-presidents of the CTEA to meet with Mrs. McLaughlin, our vice president, and to me, and with me, to begin this process. I would also, at this point in time, like to extend this invitation to our superintendent of schools, Dr. Gina Villani, to participate in these discussions. The Board of Education remains eager and anxious to begin this open dialogue and to seize this opportunity for change and improvement in the relationship between the Board of Education and the CTEA. The Board of Education hopes that the leadership of the CTEA will join us in this effort to improve our relationship. I'd like to offer a few dates in addition to the ones we've already provided. That might work for us to sit down and meet. May 12th, May 14th, May 16th, May 17th, May 18th, and May 19th. That concludes my president's comments for this evening. I'd like to ask Dr. Villani to please give her report.
Thank you. We've heard a lot about enrollment, but our current enrollment numbers to date are we're at 1,346 students. We have no suspensions to report since the last board meeting. I'm going to start with my monthly, just an update on the schools, and then go into the proclamation on the board agenda, and then identify and talk about the retirees briefly. Just some news in the schools over the past couple weeks since the last board meeting. Spruce Run had their grade one concert last Thursday. Students did a great job with their performance. The kindergarten concert is scheduled for May 18th. It's coming up. Patrick McGarren School, 2 weeks ago, they held their Arts Fest in the evening. We have a really talented group of students who, and again, I think I mentioned this last time, it would not be possible without our staff members, but the work that the students at Patrick McGarren produced was just unbelievable. And I know the Spruce Run Arts Fest is coming up shortly as well. At Round Valley School, let's back up a second. In our district, each late fall, early winter, we collect a variety of materials, toiletries, school supplies, which our students at Round Valley take to a school in Camden. And it, this relationship has been going on for 30 years. This was the 30th year, correct? The students have always wanted to visit us, but have had some difficulties within their own district getting resources to get to Clinton Township. We're happy to report that they've secured a bus and will be sending students to visit Round Valley School on May 18th. So they'll be arriving in the morning. They'll be spending most of the day in the building. They'll have lunch with our students as well, so that they can finally see where our students are coming from, because our students are fortunate to see where they are. So it'll be a nice relationship. So we're looking forward to that day as well. There are a whole host of activities going on in our schools over the next 5 to 6 weeks as we come up on the end of the school year. There's concerts, art fests, field days. I would just please, I'm sure I missed something, but if you would please just visit our websites. All that information is listed, and please attend what you can. Our students really do a fantastic job. National Teacher Appreciation Week is the first week in May each year. I wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you to our teachers and all of our staff members who support our teachers each day. The job you do makes a difference for our students, so thank you. A proclamation is included on the board agenda this evening recognizing National Teacher Appreciation Week. National School Nurses Day is May 10th this week. Thank you to each of our school nurses and the nursing support staff in each building. You not only help keep our students safe and healthy, but you look out for the adults in our buildings as well. Often the health office sees a variety of visitors each day. Not because there's a particular need always, but because our students and staff are comforted by our health office staff. So thank you for the work that you're doing as well. A proclamation is included on this board agenda this evening, recognizing National School Nurses Day. The week of May 14th is celebrated as Special Education Week in New Jersey. This year the theme is Bright Tomorrow for Today's Students. Thank you to our special education staff, our teachers, teacher assistants, child study team members, administrators, and support staff for the work that you do with these students. A proclamation is included on the board agenda this evening recognizing Special Education Week as well. I find this time of year to be bittersweet for many reasons. The school year is coming to a close. Our students and staff are going home for the summer. And regardless of what people think, I really do miss our students and staff when they're not here. It's a completely different pace in the summer. The one item which stands out the most is the recognition of retirees. While I'm happy to watch them take the next step in their lives, I'm also sad to see them go. This year we have 5 staff members retiring in June. And before I identify each of those staff members, I wanted to share some information about them collectively. Among the 5 of them, they have a total of 80 years in district. The longest staff member in district retirees this year is 22 years, and the next one is 19 years. So please help to thank and congratulate the following staff members as they retire from the Clinton Township School District in June. In alphabetical order, Patty Bongiorno at Round Valley School, Lynn DeLeo at Patrick McGarren School, Carol Fisher in the curriculum office, Richard Hoffman at Round Valley School, and Renee Seeloff at Round Valley School. So thank you to each of them for their service to the district. That's my report for this evening. Thank you.
Thank you, Dr. Villani. I'm looking for a motion, please, for 17SU-025 to 17SU-030.
Motion.
Mr. Malloy?
Second.
Mrs. McHugh? Roll call. Any questions for Dr. Villani? Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Demerle?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Orlovsky?
Yes to everything. I need to abstain on 027.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I'd like to open the floor to our first public comment section on agenda items only. To guarantee the fair and orderly expression of an individual, our bylaw 9322 limits comments to 3 minutes. We'll adhere to this bylaw to allow for everyone to be heard in a fair and consistent and equitable way. Also, the public comment section is only for comments made by the public. It is not an interactive session between the board and the public. This, too, is defined by our bylaw. The board will make note of any questions or comments that a member of the public will have at the microphone. If the Board of Education has an immediate answer to the question or questions, they will be answered at the conclusion of the public comment section. We will gather all questions asked at the podium this evening. To the extent any other action or research is warranted, it will be addressed by the board president or superintendent of schools. No participant may speak more than once on the same topic until all others who wish to speak on that topic have been heard. If you'd like to address the board, please approach the microphone, state your name and address. We'll be limiting this public comment section to 30 minutes.
I never know which one to use.
Speak in the middle, it'll catch it.
I'm not sure if your statement is considered part of the agenda or not, Maria. I'm Ellen Sidberry, 21 Andrian Drive, Annandale. I live in the district. I also teach in the district, and I'm also the co-president of the Clinton Township Education Association. And I'm glad I stayed for the board meeting. I'm sad to learn that our relationship is broken here in a public meeting. As we said to you in our email, we would be more than happy to meet with you along with our vice president, Julie Mooney, as well, as soon as we set up a negotiation schedule. Since our contract expires at the end of June, we feel like this timeline is the most important to set a schedule for. And after that time, we will be more than happy to meet with you and further our relationship. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else?
Hello, Lana Brennan, 21 Fawn Drive. I just had two things. First off, I was just wondering why the action item 17PN 180 and 17PC 044 were the same item, both about the amended calendar. Secondly, also, I'm starting to become a little concerned about the legal fees were being paid. I was looking at the agenda and I saw another lawyer renewal, and that caused me to go back to look about previous ones, and which caused me to go look into more things because I was bored today. So far in this year, from January to May, we've spent almost $80,000, and I know it is not a lot in the grand scheme of things and the budget-wise, but for me, it is a lot. For the entire 2016-17 school year, which does not include the next month and a half, we've spent almost $121,000, and that just seems quite excessive considering that this is up from the 15-16 school year, which was $84,000, and in 14-15, it was $60,000. That was spent, and $40,000 was spent in the 13-14 school year. I just am concerned about how our legal fees are almost tripling in the span of 3 years. So that was my part of it, through all of them, not just one, but all of the lawyers that we use, or companies, whatever we call it. So thank you.
What were our two numbers, 180 and what was the other one?
It was PC 044 and PN 180.
They're both calendar. Sure. Mr. Gagliardi?
I'll do what I can to respond to the question about legal fees, although I'll note that our firm is one of only four that is doing legal work for the district. Fluctuation in legal fees can be explained by any number of factors. As a general rule, of course, lawyers do not call up their clients and say, hey, what do you want me to do today? The clients call up the lawyers when they need legal services. So if there, for example, is an increase in number of special education cases, that will result in an increase in legal fees. During the period of time that you questioned, there were essentially two rounds of negotiations. You know, normally there's a sort of an ebb and flow, but the conclusion of one contract led into the beginning of another contract negotiations. So those were sort of led to an increase in a short period of time rather than spread out over two contract periods. And then there have been a lot of grievances filed by the association. I would say our firm is handling any number of those grievances, and we probably have gotten more grievances out of the Clinton Township Education Association in the past 2 years than all of the other school districts we represent combined. So that is extraordinary, and it leads to legal fees. And so I think those three things will lead to the sort of results you observed.
Anyone else like to address the board?
We're now reckon 42 Valley Crest, and I'm sorry that I'm making the evening even longer. Just regarding the whole feasibility of potentially closing a school, I just want to ask the board to please consider, and I'm sure you will, if it has to happen that it has to go down to three schools, I'm wondering what will be decreased or taken away or eliminated that's being utilized now. For example, currently we have areas to provide literary support, maybe study buddies, physical therapy, occupational therapy. They have their designated areas. There's the wonderful new work program, the multi-tiered system of supports, NJTSS, and I know the names keep changing. that is specifically assigned areas that some of these services are being provided in, and I'm just wondering if it has to happen that the schools has to be condensed, what of these very needed areas and spaces are going to be eliminated just to make room for students to be in three schools instead of four schools? I'm an advocate for children with special needs because I have one, and I want to make sure that those things don't get neglected. And then I just have an overall concern personally, and I'm not sure exactly all the detail about staffing changes next year, but I know there's been some staffing changes among special education, including special ed teachers, eliminating of OTs, and I'm not sure why, and it concerns me. That's just how I feel. So hopefully there was really good reasoning, and that all the needs and new needs and upcoming needs of kids with IEPs will really be met and not fall somewhere in a black hole with a lot of the changes. That's just my opinion. Thank you.
Any other questions? No, seeing none, move on to the second recognition of the public. Anyone like to address the board? The same parameters that I outlined a few moments ago will apply here as well, limiting this section to 15 minutes. No, seeing none, then we'll move on to the report of our School Business Administrator Board Secretary, Mr. Juskowitz. Sir, your report.
Date of the Board of Education's next regular scheduled meeting is for Monday, June 26, 2017 at 7:30 p.m. in the auditorium of the Clinton Township Middle School. And that concludes my report.
Thank you, sir. Looking for a motion, please, for action item 17BA031 through 17BA032.
Motion.
Ms. Vandroff, second, please.
Second.
Ms. McLaughlin, any questions?
Yeah, we need to correct that time. We had said 6:30 for the interviews.
Yeah.
That's correct. Thank you.
I'm still awake.
You haven't voted on it.
No.
So we'll just make the change.
Yeah.
Okay, so make the change to 6:30 p.m. Any other questions? Nope. Seeing none, may we have a roll call, please?
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes to all, except I need to abstain on the executive session minutes of April 24th.
Ms. Mrs. Demilay?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Mrs. Olasky?
I need to abstain on 031. Yes to 032.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to the report of Facilities and Finance. Ms. Olasky, may we have your report, please?
Short committee. Good evening, everyone. The Facilities and Finance Committee met via email since the April 24th board meeting, and we have 37 action items this month. Aside from the payment of monthly bills and routine or in-process maintenance projects, there are a few things of note. There are several reimbursement requests for seminars, conferences, training, and or graduate courses. There are several requests related to home instruction, student assessment therapy, and various consultant approvals. There's an action item related to professional development. There's another action item related to translation services. There are several action items related to subscription renewals for the 2017-18 school year. There is a resolution for participation in coordinated transportation with Warren County Special Services School District for the 17-18 school year. There are a couple action items related to professional legal services for the 17-18 school year. There are several action items related to agreements with Hunterdon County ESC for the 17-18 school year. There are several action items related to the 2017 extended school year program. The 2017-18 school year lunch prices have been finalized, which will not increase from the current school year. The contract with Mashio's will also be renewed for the 17-18 school year. There is the several action items related to insurance. There's a renewal of the contract with the architect. There's renewal of the contract with Work Family for 2017 summer camp and 17-18 before and after care programs. And last but not least, there's a refund to the Clinton Township Foundation for Educational Excellence for unused grant money from the 2014-15 school year. With that, I'd like to put forth a motion for action item 17FF 222 through 258.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Mrs. McHugh. Any questions for Mrs. Olasky this evening? No, seeing none, may we have a roll call, Mr. Juskiewicz?
Mrs. Olasky?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. Demilay?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
No on 242, abstain 243, yes to all others.
And abstain on 243?
Correct.
Mrs. Vanderwall?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to the next committee report of the Board of Education is our Personnel Committee. Mrs. Vanderhoff, can we have your report, please?
Yes. Personnel Committee met once in person since our last board meeting, and tonight we have 25 items on the agenda for consideration and approval, item 17-PN-178 to item 17-PN-203. We are asking for approval for an interim director of curriculum for the month of July. Another item is requesting approval for two staff members to participate in the child study team to complete summer evaluations. Another item is regarding the approval of the amended and final 2016 to 2017 calendar. We're also asking for approval for a stipend adjustment for two lacrosse coaching positions in the district. And we are seeking approval for four staff members who will participate in student supervision for the months of May to June. Another item relates to the approval of a student teacher coming to us from November to December this year. We're seeking approval for a staff member to actually assist the Board of Education on a project. Another item is requesting approval for amendments to prior motions, which change the dates for two disability leaves of absences from previous agendas. We're seeking approval for the transition of a staff member to another position during the months of July and August. Five items relate to approval for various needs in our ESY extended school year program. One item relates to staff members providing IEP assistance during the summer. Two items relate to approval of teaching assistants to be available for upcoming school trips. One item relates to a leave of absence coming up in September. And finally, there are five agenda items which relate to the approval of continued employment for our tenured and non-tenured staff in the following areas: certificated administrative staff, CTEA teaching staff, CTEA teaching assistant staff, CTEA secretarial staff, and CTEA custodial and maintenance staff. And another item relates to the appointment of our non-certificated hourly aide staff members. Finally, due to the reduction of students requiring occupational therapy, we are seeking approval to abolish two part-time positions and establish one full-time occupational role for the district. With that, I'd like to ask for approval of agenda item 17-PN-178 to agenda item 17-PN-203.
Looking for a second, please.
Second.
Mrs. Wolowski. Any questions for Mrs. Vanderhoff this evening? Seeing none, may we please have a roll call?
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Wolowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Demerle?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
And Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. Moving on to our final committee report this evening, our policy and curriculum. Ms. McLaughlin is the chair of that particular committee. Ms. McLaughlin, may we please have your committee's report?
Yes, the policy and curriculum committee met last week. We have four action items to move forward tonight. One is the amended school calendar. It has come to our attention that North Hunterdon High School and Clinton Township Middle School had the same day for graduation. We are amending our calendar so that we do not conflict with North Hunterdon or Warwick East's graduations. So our graduation will be on June 14th. The last 2 days of school, which would be the 14th and the 15th, would be early dismissal days. Correct, Dr. Polani? With the last day of school being Friday, June 16th for staff. Correct, also? All right,
can
got
I
it
just,
right.
Can I just add a note?
Sure.
The change in graduation, we usually graduate the last day of school because we have to give one day back. It then falls on the same day as North Hunterdon and Voorhees. So we adjusted. Our date for graduation is June 14th. As Mrs. McLaughlin said, we still have one day in our calendar in the event of inclement weather. I'm not getting anything past this year, but hurricane, tornado, something happened and we had to close school. Our eighth grade graduation date will stay on June 14th, even though the students would then be coming back one day later. So the graduation date right now is firm on the 14th. Sorry, thank you.
We also have one first reading policy for attendance, absences, and excuses, and we have two action items regarding field trips. First and third grades will be participating in Move Up Day. The Round Valley students will be the recipient of the CTMS students who are going to come down and talk to them. And there will be some transition to the Voorhees High School. So with that being said, I would like to move action item 17PC044 through 17PC047.
Thank you. Looking for a second, please.
Second,
Mrs. Vanderhoff. Any questions for Mrs. McLaughlin this evening? Seeing none, Mr. Jeskowitz, may we please have a roll call?
Mrs. McLaughlin?
Yes.
Mrs. Vanderhoff?
Yes.
Mrs. Demerle?
Yes.
Mrs. McHugh?
Yes.
Mr. Malloy?
Yes.
Ms. Wolowski?
Yes.
Mrs. Grant?
Yes.
Motion carries.
Thank you. I'd like to move on to old business of the board, please. Does any members of the Board of Education have any old business they would like to discuss this evening? No? Then we will rapidly move on to new business. Does any board member have any new business on the board they'd like to talk about this evening? No? Seeing
Sleep.
None?
Make a motion.
Can I?
I'd like to open the floor, please, to second recognition of the public. Same parameters as in the first public comment section that I provided earlier apply here as well. If you'd like to address the board, please step up to the microphone, state your name and address. You have 3 minutes to speak at the podium. Anyone like to address the board? No, seeing none. Mr. Jeskowitz, can you read the famous executive session?
Whereas while the Senator Byron M. Bayer Open Public Meetings Act, NJSA 10:4-6, et sec requires all meetings of the Clinton Township Board of Education to be held in public. NJSA 10:4-12b sets forth 9 types of matters that may lawfully be discussed in executive session, i.e. without the public being permitted to attend. And whereas the Clinton Township Board of Education has determined that the following issues are permitted by NJSA 10:4-12b to be discussed without the public in attendance and shall be discussed during an executive session. Whereas any matter involving the employment, appointment, termination of employment, terms and conditions of employment, evaluation of the performance, promotion or disciplining of any specific prospective public officer or employee or current public officer or employee employed or appointed by the public body unless all individual employees or appointees whose rights could be adversely affected request in writing that such matter or matters be discussed at a public meeting subject to the balancing the public's interest and the employee's privacy rights under South Jersey Publishing Company versus the New Jersey Expressway Authority 124 NJ 478, the employees and nature of the discussion described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is personnel and whereas any collective bargaining agreement or terms or the terms and conditions of which are proposed for inclusion in any collective bargaining agreement include the negotiation of terms and conditions with employees or representative of employees of the public body. Collective bargaining contract discussed is between the Clinton Township Board of Education and the Clinton Township Administration Association, and whereas any pending or anticipated litigation or contract negotiation in which the public body is or may become a party, any matters falling within the attorney-client privilege to the extent that confidentiality is required in order for the attorney to exercise his ethical duties as a lawyer. The nature of the matter described as specifically as possible without undermining the need for confidentiality is attorney-client privilege, personnel, and negotiations. Whereas the length of the executive session is estimated to be 90 minutes, after which the meeting shall reconvene and proceed with business, now therefore be it resolved that the Clinton Township Board of Education will go into executive session for only the above stated reasons. Be it further resolved that the board hereby declares that its discussion of the aforementioned subject will be made public at such time as the reason for confidentiality no longer exists. Action may be taken upon return.
Thank you, Mr. Jaskiewicz. Looking for a motion, please, to go into executive session.
Motion.
Second, please. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Aye. Abstentions? We are now in executive session. Looking for a motion, please, to reconvene the meeting.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Meeting is reconvened. I'm looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Please. Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Actually, I need to do it differently. Looking for a motion to reconvene the meeting, please.
Motion.
A second.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting's reconvened. I'm now looking for a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Meeting is adjourned.